This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, Saturdays are my thing.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that we are a week from tomorrow is Easter.
Can you believe that?
No, I cannot.
It's coming right at us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we better get ready. Yeah. Do you have your reservation somewhere?
No, of course not, because it just snuck up on me. I realized it this morning. I said, I looked at the calendar. I said, oh, my goodness. This can't be. Next week is already Easter. It just blew me out of the water.
It is. And, you know, women expect to be taken out on Easter for a fine lunch or a fine dinner. You can do it either way. It's an option. But without it, Mama isn't going to be happy.
No. Mama isn't going to be happy at all.
Nope.
It's
and
the
a lot of places. You can still get in, but not everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure, you know. Of course, I know Outback would be taking reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Manny's, who is my favorite. And I don't know other than those.
Yeah. I know. Now, Easter, it's bad enough to miss lunch on that for Easter. But if I miss it on Mother's Day, then that's doomed.
Just back up, keep going.
Yeah.
Just back up.
I just move to Alaska at that point.
That's right. You do not want to be in Texas.
No.
We have strict rules about that in Texas. You don't screw with Mother's Day.
No.
Mother's Day is big.
Number it's one big. Offense right there.
Yes. And, we were talking the other day what people spent on St. Patrick's.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $40 billion.
Goodness gracious.
Yes. Just on St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Easter, you have to have Easter dresses, Easter shoes, you know. You have to have all this just to go eat.
Yeah. And then you have to eat, and then all that, and then the candy and everything else that goes on top of it.
That's right. And the Easter bunny must come.
Yeah.
Think about that. He's going to visit.
Yeah.
Personal visits.
I do like the Easter bunny.
We all love the Easter bunny.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember years ago, we went up to Denton to the mall to see the Easter Bunny. He was about 7 foot.
Really?
It scared my grandchildren to death. He was so big. I mean, we thought it'd be a glorious deal. It wasn't.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, I've hired someone to come to the home, an Easter Bunny to come with eggs and baskets and everything. And they loved it. There was a Mrs. Bunny came. She was delightful. She had her little glasses on and everything.
Wow, that sounds neat.
It is neat. And, that's just part of it nowadays. You've got to go all the way.
Oh.
And, of course, a big deal at my house will be going down and playing with the new baby llamas. We now have 6.
Oh, wow.
Because we did not read the book on the birds and bees. We missed the whole thing. I mean, how could we miss that book? It's an important book.
I think they make a movie out of it now. You may want to go see the movie.
Well, and last night, my daughter goes down to check on the llamas, her and one of the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
They go down, and one of the babies is in the barn by himself.
Really?
And they picked him up, and he just helped him. He just cuddled up. He was scared. We don't know what happened. And they had to carry him to the north pasture on foot.
Was he better after they got to the pasture?
Yes, he ran to his mommy.
Oh. Well, I wonder if he just got lost. I wonder if they all, left and he was sleeping and got lost and scared.
That might have been what happened, but we were really worried because We've never had a mommy go off and leave a baby because they are, I mean, if one of them is out of step, one of the other mothers will step up and nudge them and say, get in line, you know.
Yeah.
But this baby was in the barn by himself, and we were very concerned about his welfare. But can you imagine carrying a little llama that far?
I'd imagine even a little llama is quite heavy.
They are heavy. I imagine he weighed 18 pounds,
ooh,
you know?
Whoo!
Yeah, he weighed quite a bit. But they went this morning to verify and check and make sure everybody was there. They counted heads. They're all there.
All right. So everybody's in the pack and everybody's where they should be.
That's right. And they single file. They don't allow you messing around getting out of line. They're strict. And if everybody ran their home that way, what a deal it'd be.
Oh. We should all use the llamas as an example for living.
That's right, because, you know, you don't mess with them, you know. You just do what you're supposed to do, and you do it. Repetition's what I like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most of us, we repeat a lot of things, but then we, you know, change things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir, they don't do that. That's not in their style. And then let's see. Well, we've talked about my llamas, and we're enthusiastic about Easter.
Yeah.
And remember, you have to dye a lot of eggs, unless you go the plastic egg route.
Yeah, the plastic ones are good if you're going to hide things inside. But if you're going to actually be nostalgic, you have to dye them yourself.
But that's a lot of eggs. You know, you've got to do 25, 30 eggs.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. And
well,
if you miss one after you hide them, oh, boy, have you ever done that before?
We have had that happen. It was not a good experience.
No, no, you'll pay for that in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it gets kind of raunchy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But what everybody loves about those plastic eggs, you can hide them again and again and again, and they're not going to break or, you know, they're just, you know, they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
But they do love to color those eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, nowadays they've got so many fun colors. You can do rainbows. You can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they don't do red Easter eggs. Think about that.
Why is that?
Because Easter is pink, blues, and yellows and all that.
Oh, yeah. They're like pastel springtime colors. And red
That's
is
right.
That
it's
one.
Pastel spring, yeah. Anyways. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So the people that manufacture those are very brilliant.
Yeah, they are. They I guess they thought about everything. Brilliant. That's why they do what they do.
It. And that's why when you go to the store to buy the dresses for the little girls, they're pink, yellow, white. They're all pastels.
Yeah.
And that's where everything looks springy and all of it works together.
And it's so nice. It's such a wonderful time of year, except for our allergies. But other than that, flowers are blooming. We got the springtime colors and trees are budding and blooming again. It's so nice.
It is a wonderful time of year for the whole world.
I mean,
you know. And that's one thing about Texas. We go for everything. You know, if it's Christmas, we do Christmas. We do Valentine's Day. We're going to do Easter in a big way. Then we'll get on to Mother's Day, Father's Day. You know, we're not going to let any of this slide.
Yeah. No, we do it all, and we do it all big, and we do it all right.
We do it right and big.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about big, about the drop in the stock market.
Yeah, did you see that? Goodness gracious.
I did see it. Over 700 points.
What was that on Thursday, I think, was
yes, and they lost billions.
Yeah. And then
billions.
Mark Zuckerberg, he had a little problem earlier this week, lost what, $8 billion?
$8 billion, I believe it was.
Was that his own personal wealth, or was that Facebook money that they lost?
Well, he owns Facebook.
Yeah.
He owns the majority of the stock. So, yes, that would be a personal loss.
Because for some reason, I thought that he had dumped a bunch of that or gave some away or did something, but I know he said that he wasn't going to give his kids a whole bunch in his will, but I think I've got it all confused. But they lost a
all
lot of money.
All the rich people have decided they're not giving their children wealth.
Yeah.
And they're making their kids, you know, drive older cars. I know wealthy people that said, no, you don't get a new car at 16. You get a used car.
Oh, yes. You have to get a beater. You have to go through the process.
And you have to, a lot of them make them work and say, no, you know, I'm not giving you anything. You get out of here and work for it. I worked hard to get what I've got, and you can do the same thing. And it's good for you.
Yeah. It helps build character. Yeah. It helps build responsibility.
It builds a lot of character.
Yeah.
And then you won't throw it away, and you'll save. You'll be very frugal the rest of your life. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
It really is. And it teaches savings and learning, and that's really the foundation for planning, even as far out as, retirement. I mean, when you're starting that early as a young child, you know, 16, 17, you're having to go out and get a part-time job, you know, no matter what it is, flipping hamburgers or, you know, wherever. It teaches that thing that, you know, hey, if you want this, then you need to work and you need to save. And hopefully that will carry on into retirement. And then that leads to, you know, investing and then saving and growing. And financial planning is really what it's all about. And it all starts so early.
And I know lots of kids, by the time they're 20 years old, they have a very good savings account. You know, they have worked hard every summer. When I was a kid, everybody went out in the fields and worked. They do for their fathers. They go to the neighbors. They help in the fields. All of this, and I can remember all the kids doing it and making money every summer and proud to get the work.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then we've got people like this kid up here by Fort Worth that was drunk in the car, and you know it killed three of his friends.
Oh really?
And he had no regrets.
Really?
Had no regrets. And, you know, him and his mother went to Mexico. They brought him back, and they finally put the kid in jail.
Wow.
He's just now getting out. And he should have been there about 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
But at least they finally got him in jail and taught him a lesson that he's not above everybody because he was very wealthy. And the judge said, well, he doesn't know how to be sorry because he's so wealthy. Do you believe that?
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that.
You remember him? Okay.
Yes. Now I do. That was their whole defense is that he was wealthy and he didn't know any better.
That's right. He didn't know that getting these people killed in a car was a serious thing, and he should have been on his knees instead.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't. He was out drinking again.
Yeah.
And. He wasn't taught anything in life.
Well, hopefully, most people, I think, start out with these part-time jobs, and they learn to work for things, and it grows. And then as they get older, what type, and I know the answer is generally it's never too early, but at what type, or what age would you generally recommend starting to maybe think about investments and things like that to start planning for retirement? What would be a good reason?
Right out of college. A lot of the people are taking their kids, they're putting them in investments with us, with the mother and the daddy as trustees.
Mm-hmm.
The mother and daddy are running the show, but they're taking the children's money that they have saved and saying, okay, you've got this much, we'll put this much with it, and we will invest it for you. But then they put stipulations. You cannot get any of this money out until you're 30. And then all five of the kids had to agree what they could take money out for. So it's not just, you've got the money, well, heck, when I get 30, I'll just blow it. You can't do it. Most of them say, no, isn't going to work that way. All five of you have to agree on taking money out for anything, if it's to buy a business, whatever it's for.
Do you find that approach generally works well as far as, you know, planning
yes, it
and
does.
Responsibility?
Yes. And I've got a lot of people that are doing this with their children. And I think it's paying big dividends because now the children are older. Their future is assured because they are investing. They have good jobs now, and they're paying attention, and they're interested. They're interested in their savings. They're interested in investments. And they're not just thinking about a new car, new house. They're actually planning for their future, and it's because of their parents. The parents are helping them. And I think it's really great. And then we've got the parents that come to us 40 years old, 60 years old, and they said, you know, I've got a 401k, I've got an IRA, and I want to get it more secure. I'm getting older. I'm going to retire pretty soon. So I want to do the right thing. I want to get this fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the type of people that come to us every day. They want to have a good retirement. They're worried about their future, you know. And like I tell people, it takes a lot of money to live. doesn't take as much to die, but it takes a lot to live.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to live 25 years, you're going to have to coming all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of people, they don't realize that after you retire, it does take so much money, and you want to maintain that same lifestyle, if not get better. What you don't want to do is retire and then start planning on where you can cut back. That's not the best way to retire.
No. And the first thing you should say is, am I going to have interest income for the rest of my life? Do I have the principal secured where the principal can't go down? Because look what happened to the stock market this week. You know, we talk about the stock market every once in a while and mention to people you could lose an awful lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it does. It happens all the time. And this week, there was billions went into Chase Bank and Bank of America. That tells you how afraid people are. They've taken it out of the stock market when they saw how bad it was. They cashed it in, and they put it in cash over at Chase Bank. There was billions went into Chase this week. Billions went into Bank of America.
Wow.
And that's what it is. People are a little bit scared, and they're saying, until I figure out what to do, I'm going to get this in cash, and I'll put it over here in the bank.
Well, we talk about these things all the time, about how anything can affect the stock market. And what you don't want to do, I mean, until you've been through something like this where you've been, you know, investing and investing for years and years and you're watching it grow and watching it grow, and then all of a sudden it's like chutes and ladders, and you hit one of those chutes, and then boom, years of investment is gone, and now you've got to start all over again. And it's much harder to build it back up than it is to lose it all.
Well, and of course, we've had it happen every few years, like 5 to 10 years. And the last one was in 2008. People lost a ton of money. And, you know, they have recovered, but they still remember that. It's like the crash of 29. You know, I've still got older clients that remember that. And they're still a little skittish about the market.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them say, I'm not touching the market. I'm not going to do it, you know. And if they lived through that, it made them frugal. It made them savers. It made them really respect, you know, where their money was.
Do you find people who have not necessarily been through the Great Depression of 29, but people who have been through like 2008, do you find people are recovering faster, or do you find people still skittish, or has it really not affected anybody and they're still, you know?
It affected them greatly. I've had a lot of people say, I'm getting out of the stock market. I'm never going back. I can't stand the trauma. And one couple told me, they said, Faye, this happened to us three times. This is the third time is a charm.
Yeah.
And said, we're not going through it again. We've went through the up and down three times. We've lost three times. You know, and they said, we just can't do it. We can't go through this again.
Well, because, I mean, you sit there and when you lose everything like that, or when it has a you know, takes a big hit like it did this week, you literally see your entire retirement gone down the drain. And then, you know, if you're a few years away, it's going to take much more than that to build that back up, most likely.
Yeah, it will.
I mean, these are real life situations. These are not hypothetical scenarios. This is real life. This is your retirement. So what you want to do is you want to find something that's a little bit more secure. Now, obviously, there's risk with everything that you do, but anything that anybody can do to reduce that risk, especially as you get closer to retirement, is really in your best interest. And in investing in an alternative type of investment opportunity, like a life insurance policy, this is really the way to go.
I think so, because you know what you've got. You know it can't go down, and that's more important than anything. It's so different than the stock market. It cannot go down. We don't touch the money. That's another safety factor. The trustee is the bank, and that's the way it should be on these type of alternate investments. You need a bank to be the trustee.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always done. We don't take any of your money. It's never made out to me, never made out to the corporations. It goes direct to your account at the bank. And that's another safety feature. And I think in today's markets, you need as much safety as you can get. And there's still a risk. You know, we're not saying there's not any risk, because there is risk. And the rest, of course, there's three things. The big one is a policy could go over. You might not get paid on time. And if you're looking, say, I've got to have that money on a certain date, that's wrong. You can't do that. But if you say, I know it's going to come due, it may be this month, it might not be for 12 months more. But you expect that. You know that a certain amount are going to come in late. Certain amount will be on time, and then a great deal of them are going to be early. And that's what makes it all work out, because it just, you know, there's so much of each thing that you're going to get paid. You always get all your money out of the policy, so, and you make a lot of interest. And that's why we do this.
Well, and then one thing that you kind of touched on this a little bit, this is not a paycheck. So it's not like, you know, you can invest and then all of a sudden things go up overnight and then you can take it out tomorrow. That's not this at all. You have the term of the policy and you're investing in the term. Now, whenever it matures is when you get paid. So it may come in on time, it may come in early, it may come in late, but that's when it matures, and it's not liquid. So you cannot access this money. So if anybody is the type of person that, you know, well, I just want to invest, you know, part-time, a little here, a little there, and then take it out when I need it. This is not for them at all.
No. And if it's somebody that says, well, I've got $50,000, they've got to go to annuities. Annuities are solid, they pay good, and they can build up till they can do a life settlement, you know? But their future is a lot smaller than our clients, okay? You can do a $50,000 investment, but not with a life settlement. You must have $100,000, and then you must be qualified. You've got to either have $200,000 a year if you want to do this, or you have to be worth $1 million without your principal home.
Mm-hmm.
And our people are, qualified. They know the risk. They can stand the risk. If you can't stand the risk of it going over, this is not for you, you know. And my people all have emergency money, they have savings, they have money in other places, so, you know, we don't have to worry about them.
So this type of investment works best for somebody who has, they have money, but they have money in different places as well.
That's exactly right. If you've only got $100,000 to your name, I wouldn't do it for you,
mm-hmm.
because you've got to have other money. You know, you've got to have money for emergencies. All kinds of things. And our people do. They'll say, okay, I've got $500,000 here. I want to invest it. And then they have emergency money. They may have rent houses. I've got two different people. They've got 11 rent houses.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, 11 rent houses. It's just crazy. So they have, you know, other incomes. Some of them are ranchers. I've got some that own, I've got one fella that owns a big mechanic place here, and he's very successful. So, you know, even though he invests with me, he's got money coming in every month, you know. And most of our people are that way. You know, they have good salaries. They get good bonuses. Their bonuses now are back up where they ought to be, and their pay is higher than it was. So things in the Permian Basin are looking up.
So, for somebody who owns their own business, that counts as assets.
Absolutely. It's a big asset. Sometimes those people that own their business, it can be worth $5 million, $1 million, $10 million, depending what kind of business it is. And a lot of people, lawyers, you know, theirs is in 401ks, usually, because, you know, they get paid big legal fees during the year. Then they get, usually if they're a member of the firm, they get a large bonus, you know. We have a lot of doctors that are with us. And most of them waited till they retired and they put their money with us. And when they did, they've already had, I think one doctor's already had two maturities, and some of the others have had more than that. But as I said, we do have several doctors that are with us.
So let's run through the process real quick. And I know we're going to oversimplify this, but that's okay. Basically, you get these life insurance policies that people have to sell, and they sell them for a number of reasons, whether it's you know, for, you know, to settle, you know, like their will. They know that they're going to pass away and they'll go ahead and get the estate taken care of so that there's no fights among family members. They do that, or they need to go ahead and pay for like cancer treatment, because the policies you're looking for are stage four cancers.
That's exactly right. So the people that come to us, they either need it for the treatment, which is very expensive. It's over $10,000 a month, and I know that to be a fact. Or they may, if they, or somebody that has $1 million or $5 million policy, they just need to settle with the children. They want to do it now before they pass away, and that's usually someone that's got about 12 months to live. We've done several of those of wealthy people who just need to settle their estate. Then we've got people that, you know, had a good job, that they can't work, you know, they're doing treatment all the time. So they have to get their hands on a lot of cash to try to, you know, to stay here as long as they can. So everybody has a different story when we buy their policy. They want it for a different reason. We had a lady this last week that was wanting to sell her policy, and come to find out she's got cancer and her daughter's got ALS.
Oh, no.
So a lot of times these deals are pretty tragic. So you never know what all is happening at their house, okay? And we had a lawyer this week that wanted to sell us his policy.
Oh, really?
Well, you know how lawyers are.
Yeah.
They go over the contract 15 ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
The broker finally told them, today is the deadline. If you want to do this with us, you need to stop picking it apart. It's a standard contract approved in every state. Or just keep it. Yeah, and Don, let the family handle this.
What do you do?
Well, it's my understanding that the papers are on their way.
Okay.
He finally got off his high horse. He thought he was in court trying a case.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah, he thought he was trying a case. But, so, you know, when it's their own personal policy, you know, it's a little different.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. Yeah, because they have a personal vested interest in it.
That's right. He had a vested interest in how he was going to handle that.
So these people need to sell their policy, and they need somebody there to buy it. And you bid on these policies against other companies, and if you get awarded with it, now it becomes, you know, the policyholder gets their cash, they do their treatment, they go on their way and do whatever they need to do. Then at that point, now you've got this policy, and you turn this into an investment opportunity for people to invest a certain percentage of the policy's value, and then when the policy matures, that's when people get paid. I mean, I know that's an oversimplified explanation, but that's basically how it works, right?
That's right. They get paid when it matures, and it takes 6 to 8 weeks. First, you have to get the certified death certificate. And 21st Services provides that to the bank. Then the bank sends it in to the carrier, and the carrier pays the bank, not us, pays the bank, and then the bank puts it in everybody's account. That's a very simple way to do it. And, you know, it's a safe way. The bank is responsible for cashing that check and putting it in your account.
So what is for somebody who's looking at this and weighing this against their current investment in the stock market, what's the difference? What makes this a better investment, and why should people take it out of the stock market and do something like this?
Well, now, it's just my opinion, but my opinion is that this is completely different than the stock market. You know, when you go to the stock market, you give them your money, and you hope for the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hope it's going to make a lot of money. Well, when you have a downturn, you're back to where you started a lot of times. Well, with this, you can't go backward. That's what I like. The policy, if it's $1 million, it'll be $1 million payout. It doesn't matter what happens. They're not going to come to you and say, well, you know, the life insurance policy, the face amount went down. It isn't going to happen. So you know you've got assurance of what you're going to get. Now, it might not be the day you think, or the month, or you know, it could be 9 months late, it could be a year late, but it might be early. And people can go to our website, they can look it up and see what it says.
So people are still taking a chance, but it's just a very, very small percentage of the chance you take as compared to the stock market.
That's right. It's not near as risky, in my opinion. But a person can do both. They can say, well, I'll leave some in the stock market. If I lose it, I can afford to lose it. Mm-hmm. Or if you say, I cannot lose my retirement, well, then you need to come and talk to us, you know. You know, it's in the bank. We can't get to it. And the bankers handle your money very carefully. And then, of course, anytime it's in cash, while we're getting ready to invest it, you know, you get overnight Fed funds on the money. So you make a little interest all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think one of the big advantages is that people know what they're going to make on each investment. They already know that ahead of time. You can't get that kind of, you can't even guess when you're investing in Wall Street. You know, like yesterday, Dropbox opened for investments, and I saw that, you know, at the opening bell, and it was hovering around 30, it was going up and down, and they had the ticker, you know, the tick by tick thing going on, and it would go up to 31 and then down to 29, and people were sitting there watching that, you know, and I'm like, my goodness, How nerve-wracking that has to be, knowing that your entire retirement is in that type of situation all the time.
Well, it is. And like some people will buy one stock. You've got to be out of your head.
Yeah.
Why would you buy one stock? If that thing pancakes, it's over.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody with us is diversified, mm-hmm. I can tell you. They may have four policies, might have five, might have three, but they've got some money in more than one policy. Now, they may have $150,000 in one of them, or $100,000, or even $30,000, but they're going to have more than one. They're not going to be sitting there just waiting for one policy to mature. So this works, you know, very good. As I said, if they look at what people made in 17.
And so 2017, I know it was a record year because of all the policies that came in early, but that's really the beauty of this, because over time and then being diversified, like you say, it really makes for a great, it all kind of balances out in the end. So it makes for a really ideal scenario.
Well, I think so, because you can look at what other people have done, and you shouldn't do any worse than they've done, and maybe even better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't know. But I do know this, that when you sign page 14, you know what you're going to make, you know who the policy's on, you know what kind of cancer it is, you've already gotten that in advance, and then it says this is what you're going to make. It says, okay, if it goes over, this is what it's going to cost you. So we've given you what your cost is, what your profit is, everything we can think of that would make this investment safe, and where you'll know what you're doing.
You know?
You don't have to be a banker to figure this out.
No.
That's what one people said to me not long ago. Say, at least we don't have to be a banker to figure out what we're going to make.
And you don't have to be a doctor, really, to understand you know, the condition of the policyholder when you're thinking about investing in this. Because the last thing you want to do is get buried into conditions and medical terms and things like that. All people really want to know is this a safe policy? What are the conditions? What makes this such a good deal? And then just go for it. You don't have to understand the ins and outs and whys and medicine and all that.
That's exactly right. And that's what I love about this is, you know, if it says it's 10 months, it's lots of times it may be less than that. We had one the other day. They just paid off. It was 1 month over. Went 1 month over. Well, that didn't cost them anything, did it?
No.
And lots of times, as I said, sometimes we've escrowed 4 months past what we think maturity is.
Mm-hmm.
We try to always escrow some extra.
Just as a little safe cushion.
Yes, we always try to put a cushion in where, let's say it did go over, where it wouldn't cost the client anything.
It's not. We're not talking about, you know, if it goes over a year even, it's not going to, you know, eat away at your entire profit. We're talking about a very small percentage of your profit that we're looking at, you know, for paying premiums.
That's right. And, of course, now, if it's those old policies that were bought through that other company, you know, we're still got the light out. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got the light out. We've still got three of those, you know, that we brokered. We brokered those policies for our clients. And You know, that company told us these are 12-month policies. But they were 90 years old.
Whoa.
78 years old. And it was our first experience with seniors and our last. I mean, you know, we found out that those seniors are going to outlive us all. And they're just perking along.
You learned the hard way that there's a difference between being sick and being old.
That's right. And come to find out, the premiums are high. There's not anything we can do about it. And there's still a little profit left in the thing. I can't believe it. There's still a little profit. So they're going to come out if we can just get this thing buttoned up. But
so
there's no guarantee.
So when you're bringing on policies and you're thinking about what to invest in, or what to bid in for the people to invest in, we're talking about stage four cancer, and we're talking about, you know, really severe cases. We're talking about certain things that you've looked for, you know, what kinds of treatments, are there remission, where is the cancer, and things like that. So just real quick, what types of policies are you looking at so people can feel secure?
Well, you know, the policies that we're looking at, you know, they're from 6 months to about 30 months, you know. And as I say, we try to have more than one report if it's $1 million or more. If it's less, you know, we're going to have one report. And these are the best in the business that give these. Fasano, been around. They know cancer like no one else. You've got AVS, and then you've got 21st Services. And these are the three companies that we rely on. And they're very good at what they do. And they're usually, Fasano will go out, they're so conservative, even like on pancreatic cancer, they'll say 18 months. And usually it's 9 to 10 months. And we know that about them.
So, so when people look at these policies, they don't have to speak doctor speak. All these terms are in very, very plain English. You know, if they've gone to, you know, try some spring water treatment someplace, they know that that's taking away, or you know that that's taking away from real treatment that will work if people let it, or at least have better odds with like chemotherapy and things like that.
That's exactly right, and you know. These people, lots of times, women especially, will try anything. They will go to the ends of the earth, and that spring water or the orange juice is not going to save you, I can just tell you.
Man.
And then we know that we want to buy that policy because it's hard to say, but we know that they're really screwing up, you know?
They're wasting time
all the time
on treatments that aren't going to work.
That's right. And they don't realize it, and they just say, well, you know, I'm going to try anything, and they will.
And those are the ones that generally come in early. Odds are better that those will come in early. And we're talking about, what you usually go for, what, 18, 24 months-ish?
Yes. Lots of times on breast cancer, they may say, you know, that it's going to go that far, but I find it hard to believe on breast cancer.
Okay. And you've done this long enough that you know the ins
and outs. Oh, yeah. We know breast cancer because, you know, we've done so many policies on it, you know. So when they say, you know, we think it's 24 months. Well, first of all, look and see what's already been done. Is it recurring breast cancer? If it is, they have a short lifespan. They don't have 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If it's first time, we look and see where it has spread. Now, if it hasn't spread, they may have longer. But if it's in the spine, the ribs, lungs, it will be a short deal, okay?
So to oversimplify again, people that you bid on these policies, if you're awarded it, people invest in this. And you may have maybe, I don't know, I'm just throwing out some random numbers here, maybe 10 people in one policy, and they invest like 10% or their portion of the policy, and then when it matures, they get paid their money plus their percentage in profit, and then people really just set it and forget it. You're just, at that point, waiting, and if it comes in early, they still get the same, you know, say it's a 24-month policy, they still get their 24%. They just get it sooner.
That's exactly right. They're going to get the same amount of money, but they may just get it, you know, a lot sooner than what they thought. you know, they're looking at, you know, one price, and we may find out that it's not going to work that way, that we're going to get a lot sooner. And you just never know for sure, because it depends. Like, a lot of times I'll read it and they'll say, no, we don't want a mastectomy. No radiation, no chemo. Well, that's the only thing that could possibly extend your life. You know, I don't know what else that I can think of, you know, that would extend their life.
Yeah, and so when people deny those types of treatments, those are the policies that really are attractive to you. Those get on the hot list.
They do, because we know right then that is exactly what we want to do. So we're going to, you know, try to buy that policy just as soon as possible.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you bring all kinds of interesting things to the table. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the state flower of Texas. Do you know what that is?
I will as soon as you say it.
It's blue bonnets.
Ah, dang it. I knew it.
Blue bonnets, this is the time of the year that everybody, whether you're a professional photographer, just the ordinary Joe, they're going up and down our roads, our highways, taking pictures of the beautiful blue bonnets.
Mm-hmm.
Our blue bonnets are the best in the world, and they're everywhere. And the Hill Country has got some of the best in the whole wide world. When you go to the Hill Country, you've got Fredericksburg, you've got Blanco, you've got Marble Falls, the highway between Fredericksburg and Llano, Highway 16, they're just covered up. Some of our best painters in Texas have done some of the most beautiful blue bonnets in the whole world. I happen to have a blue bonnet painting, and mine's got Hereford cattle and a windmill in it.
Oh, how cool.
Oh, yeah, we all love them. So, now, there's only one highway that's dangerous down there, and that one, well, they always tell everybody, it's between Burnett and Mason. It's Highway 29. It's not only got blue bonnets, but it's got Indian paint brushes. But they say they've had so many wrecks, people not paying attention. It's got a lot of curves in it. So I want to say, if you're going to go down that road, be very cautious. But the others, oh, my gosh, it's that time of year. Fredericksburg, oh my gosh, they're beautiful. There's 80 miles of blue bonnets down there, 80 miles. They're not only on 35, which people are familiar with, but they're on every country road in the world. And when it gets the heat gets up, blue bonnets just thrive. But as you know, they're short-lived, so now through April, everybody has got to get their act together to see them. And also, in Washington County, where Brenham is, there's 40 miles of blue bonnets down there at Brenham in Washington County. And, you know, the person who started all this was Lady Bird Johnson. She wanted to beautify Texas years and years ago. In fact, it was in the 60s when she came to that point and said, let's plant blue bonnets along our highways, and she did. And now Brenham has big doings down there. I mean, you can go and stay for several days in Brenham. They'll have carnivals. They'll have everything. And then you've got Ennis. And now Ennis is a blue bonnet trail of Texas. The state legislature has designated Ennis as the place where all the trails are for blue bonnets. Now, the ladies from the clubs there, now they go out and check for the blue bonnets every week until like the second week in April when they know they're going to be ready. Can you imagine? The garden club has done this for years.
Yeah, I can imagine that, because they're so pretty.
They are so beautiful. And, of course, down there in the Hill Country, now Burnett, is, they say it is the capital of Texas for blue bonnets. It's the capital. But your trails, your blue bonnet trails, officially is Ennis, Texas. And they will have everything in the world. Now, they've been taking pictures of what they look like this week. and they're just little tiny buds coming out.
So they're not all the way in full bloom.
No. Anise won't be ready till probably second week in April. But the others in the hill country are blooming now. It's hotter down there, and that's why theirs are already there. And the bad thing is it's a short lifespan for bluebonnets. You know, they don't stay very long. So all the photographers, all the families have to get in their cars and go down there, and they're blooming right now. So it's a good time to be go into the hill country and looking at all these beautiful bluebonnets. And there's some state parks down there that have them, and they charge a little fee to go in theirs. But if you just go down the highways, it's free, and you can see these beautiful bluebonnets and take pictures.
What are they out for, about maybe like six weeks-ish?
Yes, probably not any longer than that, because the ones down there have already started, and then the ones up here, you know, are going to bloom through April, and that'll be just about it.
Yeah.
But they are magnificent. Texas has got so many varied things, and our flowers is one of the greatest assets we have.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And you can go to some of the big galleries, and the price of a bluebonnet painting can run thousands of dollars.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, to see artwork with bluebonnets in it, there's flower pictures all the time, like tulips, roses, all that. But there's something that's special that sets these types of pieces of art, whether it's a painting or a photograph or whatever it is, it sets a bluebonnet image apart from others. For some reason, I don't know why, but it's just it has that unique quality to it.
It does. And when you see it, and you see the beautiful clouds behind it, and the sun, I mean, it's a glorious sight in Texas to see a bluebonnet.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's five different kinds. But they started out with just the original blue with the little white tips.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody got the right idea, you know, to do a little cross-pollination. So we do have more than one kind of bluebonnets. But it's that time of year, and everybody needs to get in their car, go and see them. Take the family.
Might be something fun to do next weekend for the Easter weekend.
I think so. And you can take your dog, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the dog would enjoy it.
Yeah. They'll see the bluebonnets and they'll stick their face out the window.
They will. They will absolutely do it. And everybody tells me, you know, some people think there's a smell to a bluebonnet, but most people say there is no smell to a bluebonnet.
I don't know. I can't smell them, but I don't have the greatest nose anyway.
Yeah, but that's a wonderful idea for you to do. It'd be a good trip, and maybe you can miss the egg hunt.
Yeah. Well, you went crazy there for a second. Missing egg hunts? What are you talking about? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know you can't do that. Nobody can.
No, not when there's chocolate in the middle of the mix. No.
Oh, yeah, and I love the big chocolate bunnies. Let's don't discard them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, those big old bunnies are so nice.
Yeah,
oh,
they are so, yeah. Especially when they're cram-filled with Reese's peanut butter.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Uh-huh. There is so many kinds of chocolate for Easter. I just can't tell you all of them.
I know it. It's just a chocolate lover's heaven.
It is.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So when you look at bidding a policy, how does somebody know what the term of the policy is?
Well, we're going to tell her. You know, if we look at a policy, they give us that information. They say, this is a 20-month policy. Are you interested?
Okay.
And I go, yes, let me read all about it. I will let you know whether we're going to bid it. But if it meets the criteria, I'm bidding the policy.
So to translate this into profit, what this means is that when you have a 24-month policy, like you say, that means that the investor is going to make 24%, because you go for around 1% per month, right?
That's what we try to make at all times for our clients.
Okay, so if it's a 24% policy and it's a minimum of $100,000 investment, you're looking at a $24,000 profit. right?
Yes.
Okay. So now, just to kind of run some simple math, if we're looking at a policy that goes over, I want to show, you know, how little of a percentage of profit that would go into. Because I think people hear, oh my gosh, it's going to go over. I'm going to have to pay premiums. It's expensive and I'm not going to make any money. When you have $24,000 profit and you have, say, a policy goes over, and what would be an average premium that might be due? I know it varies, but what's an average?
Well, I would say, you know, per person, you know, like maybe $350, you know.
Okay. So
on an average, that would be what I would think an average would be.
We're taking a profit of $24,000. You take out an average of $350 for a premium that might be due in case the policy goes over. You're still left with $23,650 as profit.
Yes, and so it's not going to hurt you any, you know. It's a small amount.
I mean, the numbers just make sense no matter how you run them.
That's exactly right, and that's why it doesn't matter usually how much the premium is. As I said, the only ones that's really going to matter is those old policies, okay? And those old policies, it would matter, but this is not going to.
Yeah, you had bid on you bought some policies of some elderly people several years ago that were not sick. You got some misinformation. People told you the wrong things, and you bought them, and you still have them. But like you said earlier, there's still a little bit of profit in it. But the bottom line is you don't do that anymore. That's why you've honed the types of policies that you bid on. So it's really gotten to the point where if you say it's a good policy, then it literally is a good policy because you would put your own money into it if the availability is there. You don't have many of those these days, but you would put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. That's how confident you are in these policies, and people can review them until they're blue in the face.
That's exactly right. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So they're going to know, because I know people will say, especially, you know, first-time investors, they're going to say, well, geez, you know, I don't want to just, you know, take somebody's word for it. You know, this is a good idea because this is a lot of money we're talking about. They have the opportunity to look at the policy. In fact, you're going to show it to them over and over. If they have any questions, you're going to explain what every little thing means. You've got page 14. You've got all the treatments they've had or the treatments they've denied. You know how long they've had it. You know where it is. So this is a very well-researched investment, which I would say is probably a safer bet because of all the research that goes into it, a much safer bet than anything else you can invest in.
I think so. I think if you put up and say, well, now what? Put them side by side and say, which way would we rather go, you know, and look at it hard and say, you know, I think this would be better for my family because my retirement, I'm going to know how it's going to come out, you know. We're not going to have as much risk as the stock market, you know, because, as I said, I've had people tell me that after everything was said and done, there they are, and their profit's not what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And remember, in 2008, people lost 40%.
Wow.
And it took 5 and 6 years to get it back.
Yeah,
and
there are some that still haven't recovered.
I know that.
So
we have to think about our family and what our future's going to look like.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, people recommend us every week because they know somebody that's made a lot of money, that, you know, has got IRAs with us. Almost everyone has an IRA. Now, the ranchers, the some of the other people, doctors, lawyers, some of the other people, just write a check out of their account because they don't have 401ks. A lot of people who own their own businesses don't have a 401k. So it's a different type of situation. But remember, if you have an IRA, until you start taking it out, you're not paying any tax.
Yeah.
So you're actually getting ahead if you're not having to pay tax right now, okay?
And it's a smart way to do it. Just keep rolling.
That's exactly right.
And I think one other thing we should point out real quick is that, you know, if this coming week, say something happens with Instagram or Twitter, or there's some scandal again with Facebook, or, you know, we break out into a trade war, or an asteroid hits the Earth, no matter what happens.
An asteroid, that's... I think I'll pass on that asteroid, but you never know.
Well, we may not be here to enjoy our investment returns, but you know, if something was to happen, your investment is not affected by anything else. You literally set it and forget it, no matter, there is no external force or event that can affect your investment whatsoever.
That's exactly right.
Which is a much safer thing, because we all know that the slightest thing can affect Wall Street.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's just any little bubble, as you said, can affect Wall Street.
Yeah. So really, when it comes down to investing, you want to make sure that you've got the safest, the least amount of risk that you can in your investment. And the key to growing it so that you are ready for retirement is to do multiple policies. You don't have to do them right all, you know, in 5 minutes. But over time, over several years, you stay diversified, and then you keep growing. You take your profits, you reinvest, and that's how you can quickly grow your money. Now, this is not an overnight thing, but over, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you should be, you know, more than set for retirement to really be able to get out and travel or buy a farm or whatever you want to do and enjoy your retirement in all its glory.
That's exactly right. And if you get started, the earlier you get started, the better it's going to work.
Yeah.
And we know that.
Is it ever too late?
Well, you know, if you're in your 80s, you know, your children would have to be involved. We would not do it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, if you're in your 40s or 50s, you know, and you think, my goodness, I haven't really done anything, I need to get started, go ahead, get started. It's not doom and gloom.
No, it's not. And, you know, if you start in your 40s or 50s, you're going to have a very good retirement. You can do all the things you'd like to do, and I think it would be pretty exciting, you know?
So for someone who's been thinking about it, and they haven't done anything yet, and they're a little bit nervous, what should they do right now to go ahead and get the ball rolling?
Well, they need to call, make that appointment. That's the first thing you've got to do, you know? And if you get an appointment made, you know, we'll sit down, we'll talk to you, we'll see, you know, how we can work it out and see what we can do, you know?
Should people bring any documents with them for their first meeting?
Yes, they should. They should bring documents to show, you know, what their income is or what their net worth is, okay. Either way.
So maybe this weekend, today or tomorrow, maybe start gathering those things up, getting some data together, and then maybe make an appointment. Because you're not there today. The office is closed today, but you will be there next week and available for appointments.
That's exactly right.
All right.
So that's what they need to do.
So gather your information.
Procrastination. Let's mention that. Quit procrastinating. That's what happens. People procrastinate all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's how we get into the situation where we're 60 and we haven't even done anything yet.
That's right. And so, you know, the best thing you can do is quit procrastinating, get in the car with your wife, come over, talk to me, and let's see if we can work it out.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. There's not a lot of maintenance. You're not up in the middle of the night monitoring, wondering if you've, you know, made any money or if you lost everything. You basically set it and forget it, and then from there on out, additional investments, it's really just a matter of a click of a button. Do you want this? Yes. We'll invest, and we're all good. So it takes very little effort once it's all set up.
That's exactly right.
All right, Faye, so one last time, what's your phone number to make an appointment?
877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.